All right, let's turn into your Bible to Psalm 56. Like I mentioned earlier in our question and answer Bible study, it's like with everything that's going on today in our country and in the world with the coronavirus and just a lot of things that are taking place as a result of that, with things being shut down, closed down, and people going crazy at grocery stores and everything like that, it just didn't seem to be the right thing to continue on with our study in Philippians this week. So we're going to take a hiatus for this week on that. We'll get back into what we're going to look at in Philippians next week, Lord willing. But I was literally, when I was going to bed last night after I enjoyed another Hallmark show with my wife, because I love those shows so much. They're action-packed. There's instead of car chases, you have buggy and horse. I'm being silly, obviously. I enjoy those. I enjoy those movies. But when I was going to bed, it's like the Lord is really dealing with me and just put a passage in my heart about what we need to talk about today. Because I think there is so much going on. I've been, even this week, getting a lot of questions, whether, again, just social media-wise or just people from work, you know, about, hey, what's going on? This is kind of getting serious. And so this is what the Lord laid on my heart in Psalm 56, and specifically we're going to go through just verses 3 and 4. So it's always kind of weird. This has not happened much to where I've changed out what I was going to be preaching. But again, obviously, God's in charge. And so I got this message put together last night before bed and was continuing to work on it this morning. And so I hope you find it something that will be a comfort to you in the midst of what we have going on. And really, I've entitled this message just dealing with faith that can overcome the fear. Because there's a lot of fear out there. There is, you know. And, you know, when you're like, you know, what's all going on? And we're getting all the information. And you know, how bad is this going to get? You know, because it goes beyond just, again, thinking about the virus itself. But it's all the ramifications with that, as far as shortages at the grocery store for food and toilet paper and so forth and so on. And a lot of things that are happening. What about work? What about, you know, income? I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, that are ramifications to what's going on. There's a lot to maybe be afraid and fear, but as Christians, as believers in Christ, we need to understand that that nothing surprises God. And the source of our comfort is dealing with what He's already laid out in His Word. And I know that our president called for a national day of prayer, and that's a good thing, you know, but as Christians, we know we need to be praying all the time. Pray without ceasing, the Bible tells us. But it's beyond that, because it's not just prayer, and it's like, obviously, prayer is important, but that's just the one-way conversation. That's us talking to God, and we need to do that. Don't for a minute think that I'm limiting or you're not emphasizing the importance of prayer. But we need to hear from God, and we hear from God through His Word, and we need to spend time in the Word of God. Now, if you're in Psalm 56, again, we're going to deal with verses 3 and 4 specifically, but I want you to notice, if you have your Bible with you, there's in some of the Psalms, they have what we call like a prescript. In other words, it gives you a little bit of information about the context, the historical context that the Psalm takes place in. And this one is very important to understand. It's a Psalm of David, King David. He's known as a mighty warrior, and obviously he was the second king of the nation of Israel, and he gets the, I mean, the God gives by promise that his seed was going to be on the throne forever, and of course, speaking to that being ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have a Bible that has that prescript, it says this. It's before verse 1. It says, to the chief musician upon Janeth-Alim Rakokim, I can't pronounce his name, I'm going to try to pronounce it again, but it says, Mikdam of David. What you have here is, this is a musical terms that are being dealt with. And the book of Psalms is actually literally a hymn book. It's a hymn book for the nation of Israel. These are things that were sung at that time. So God uses David to write this. But it goes on and it says that he writes this. It says, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Gath is one of the major cities of the Philistines, the enemies of the nation of Israel. So that was the context of David when he writes this psalm, Psalm 56, and he's on the run from Saul. So what I want to do is obviously keep a bookmark in Psalm 56, but by way of introduction, I actually want to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21, and we're going to look at it from verse 10 and read down through actually chapter 22 and verse 2. As a way of introduction of what we, I think, desperately need to see today, and talking about, again, having a faith that overcomes our fear. Because when we look at David, I mean, David is a mighty warrior. And we're going to see that in this introductory passage that we're going to look at in 1 Samuel. And you think, when would David ever be afraid? But he is literally afraid of what's going on. He's on a run from Saul, and then he's in a place where they're the enemies of Israel, as far as the Philistines. And notice, I want you to notice what David does in his behavior, but what he does, and again, trusting God. I want you to understand this context before we look at what we need to see in Psalm 56. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, down in verse 10, it says this, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him and dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard." He's acting like a crazy person. He is so afraid, because they understand who he is, that he feigns or fakes or acts like he is crazy to be able to deal with this circumstance or situation. So that gives you an understanding of how much fear that David had in the circumstance of his life. Remember, Saul was after him. Saul wanted to kill him. That is not an idle threat, because Saul knows that David was anointed king by God after him. And he goes on and it says this in verse 14. It says, "Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see, the man is mad." He's crazy. "Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of mad men, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" In other words, like, I don't want to have anything to do with this. What do I need another crazy guy? Alright? I got other things going on. So I guess David's plan worked. But notice chapter 22. It says this, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam." He's hiding in a cave. "And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that," notice, "was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men." So, David has his own problem. Right, he's on the run from Saul. He's acting like a madman. So, you know, throws off the king of Gath there, Achish, and all of a sudden he's hiding in a cave. And then he's got 400 people coming down, part of his family and other people. But these are people that were in debt, in distress. All right, they were discontented. But what does David do? He becomes a captain over them. So as we go back to Psalm 56, it's in that context that we see that David writes this psalm. And I just want to pick out for you, again, I'll read from verse 1, but verse 3 and 4, again, is specifically what we're going to look at this morning. In Psalm 56, in verse 1, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Now again, this is a real threat that was happening in David's life. And he's praying to God today, a national day of prayer. He is talking to God about the circumstances that are going on. He's not bottling it up. He's not keeping it to himself, as we are so prone to do, especially us men. We like to keep things to ourselves. We don't like to communicate. David's not doing that. He is talking to God about the things that are stressing him out, about his fear, the things that are going on. But what you also see with David is this, and what we're going to look at in verses 3 and 4, he says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." He's already determined that no matter what comes, like, we do not know what's going to happen later today. We don't know what kind of breaking news is going to happen later that will put us in fear. But if we are afraid, what we need to do is already determined, and determined right now, that we're going to trust in the Lord. He is God. He is on the throne. This does not surprise Him. He's able to handle the situation and the circumstance in our lives. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started after that lengthy introduction. to what we need to see today in verses 3 and verse 4 of Psalm 56. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I indeed thank you that you are God. You are God from the past. You are God right now. And you are God later this week, later today, for the rest of the time we're on this planet. You are present tense God. You are on the throne. You are in control. There's nothing that surprises you. You know the end from the beginning. It is you that we need to trust in. Father, we pray for wisdom for our nation and for our leaders, nationally, statewide, city-wise, county. We pray for our leaders that you give them wisdom to make the right decisions that need to be made. And Father, help us to trust in you, because you supersede all of that. You have all power, all knowledge. You're present everywhere. And Lord, if there's anything that we need to understand today, we need to understand that we need to trust you. We need to pray to you, but we need to listen to you through your word. I talked about in our question answer Bible study, Lord. It's not a matter of just a national day of prayer. We need a national day of being in your word. And obviously not just a day, but every day we need to be praying to you. Every day we need to be in the word to hear from you, so that you can give us the comfort and the peace that no man, no government can ever give us. Father, help us to have open hearts and minds today. Help us to understand what you're trying to say to us out of this psalm, out of these verses. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you go back to Psalm 56, and again in verse 3, it says this: "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, Lord, I will trust in thee. David determined that before whatever circumstance is going to happen, he says, you know what? I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen later today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen by the end of this week. I'm going to trust in you. A lot of places are shutting down and like giving it 2 weeks to be able to clean the facilities and see what's going to happen and all that. And what about after 2 weeks? We don't know what's going to happen after 2 weeks. But whatever happens after 2 weeks' time, what do we need to do? Trust in the Lord. I want you to go back. You're in Psalms. I just want you to go back to Psalm 20 real quick. And I definitely just want to urge everyone that's hearing this message is that we've got to make sure that, again, as believers in Christ, that we're trusting in the one that has saved us. Remember, there's no greater problem a person has on planet Earth than dying without the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Because the result of that was eternity in hell. And if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, He died on a cross. He shed His blood. That's what cleanses us from our sins. And when we accept Christ, we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, as it says in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, then we are saved. We have eternal life. And the biggest problem we ever have as human beings on this planet is dying and going to hell because we didn't accept Christ. Now, if we have trusted Christ, He has saved us from that, and that's the biggest problem we ever had. Alright? Hell is a lot worse than coronavirus. It's a lot worse than any other kind of stresses or things that take place in this world. And if God has saved us from hell, He can save us from any circumstance that's going to happen in the future. What does He want us to do? Trust Him. Just like the day, whenever it was, Christian, that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You trust Him to save you from hell. Trust Him for what's going to happen tomorrow and what He can do. You look in Psalm 20. I want you to just notice what it says in verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Again, it's the same David, same King David. He's a mighty warrior, remember? They sang songs of how he slain his 10,000s. I mean, all the enemies that were coming against Israel, man, David was an incredible warrior. The same David that trusted God to fight Goliath, somebody that was a giant, like 9 feet, 9 inches tall, and you got little David there that's just a young man. Goes against this guy with a sling and a stone. He trusted God then. And it's like, we can look at this in Psalm 20 and verse 7, and it's like, you know, we can trust in the physical things that this world has to offer. That can fail. I think we see that. But the Lord never fails us. He is, as the Word of God says over and over again, faithful. He's faithful. I'm sure you probably have these verses in mind, but I want you to go over to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Some of my favorite verses. I remember when Trish, Andy, and I, when we moved to Canada, just outside of Toronto, and just doing work up there in churches and starting a church, we had a couple that, actually wasn't a couple, it was a whole prayer team that knit, or what do you call it? It's not knitting, it was, Quilting, that's what it was. Yeah, I'm a guy, forgive me. A quilting. And they quilted this huge blanket with all these different verses. I mean, verses that they shared with us, and we still have it today. I mean, it was talk about a work and labor of love, but it was literally, they came up with that idea because they knew how much I love the Word of God and just be able to wrap myself up in the Word of God. But the two pillows that they made had these verses on it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. So in the book of Proverbs, again in verse 5 and 6, it says this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And one of the key things I want to really focus on from this verse is specifically, obviously, verse 3. Trust in the Lord with not some of your heart, not even the majority of your heart, but with all thine heart. And also, lean not on thy own understanding. There's so much confusion of things that happen, especially in the circumstances of the things that are happening these days, that people are leaning on their own understanding. You know, and it's like, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. For us as believers in Christ, who are we supposed to be leaning on? The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do we do that? Not just prayer, but by spending time in His Word. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. He's going to give you that direction. If you're still in Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to look at one more verse. Verse 26. This verse has a little bit more, kind of a special meaning for me. When I first, initially got into policing, and I was praying about, is that the direction that the Lord would have for me? That's when my family lived in Marion, Kansas, just outside of Kansas City, Kansas, and Overland Park, Shawnee, in that area, little town called Marion, population about 11,000. I was their chaplain at the time, and the chief at that time encouraged me to apply. They were going through a hiring process, and I was there to do a ride-along with a good friend of mine that was, she was a police officer, ended up becoming a detective, and so that whole evening shift, I think it was, that I was riding with her, that's all I could think about. The chief saying, hey, I'd apply. And I never really thought about that too much before living in Kansas. I was involved as a volunteer police officer in Canada. So I got my feet wet in policing. But I really wasn't thinking about that here in the States and in Marion. But he had mentioned it to me, and it's like I could think of nothing else. And it was, I knew that God was kind of doing a work in my heart. I believe that's what the Lord led me to do in that direction. But I remember just searching out the Word of God, and this is one verse that God gave me and just trusting Him through this process and trusting Him in circumstances of policing, because it's not an easy job, and especially today. But in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26, it says this: for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. That was one of many verses that the Lord gave me in just deciding to follow the Lord's direction into law enforcement. So the Lord shall be thy confidence and keep thy foot from being taken. And I have held on to that verse, and I still do today. And every once in a while, as again I'm in law enforcement, that there are circumstances that happen that I remember this verse, and it's like the confidence can't be in me. The confidence can't be in the government, in a sense. The confidence can't be in somebody. My confidence needs to be in the Lord. Why? Because He's on the throne. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's got the direction. Nothing surprises Him. My confidence and our confidence need to be in Him, in the Lord. Because He's the one that can keep my foot from being taken. I shared the story with some of you, but I look at this, and probably the biggest moment in policing that this verse came to pass, working a midnight shift, that was a normal shift that I worked because it, again, freed me up my time to be able to do church, because I was still being a pastor at that time as well. I was on I-35 at Johnson Drive in Merriam on the highway, just sitting off on the medium, and I was running traffic, getting people speeding. And so I had my radar out, and where I was sitting happens to be the next street further south from there is called Shawnee Mission Parkway. And when you get onto the highway from Shawnee Mission Parkway, that lane goes all the way to where is also the exit onto Johnson Drive. And that's where my car was basically sitting. So I'm, you know, checking vehicles coming by, and all of a sudden I put my radar gun down, and then I notice a vehicle in that lane coming at me at least 60 miles an hour, because that's what the speed limit is for at that portion of highway. And I literally looked at this car coming. It was not slowing down. It was not going to be exiting off of the Johnson Drive. It was heading straight for the door of where I was sitting. And I remember saying these words, "This is it. There's no way I'm living through this." I literally said, "This is it," out loud. There's nothing I can do. I had my foot on the gas because I had it where my car's in drive because I'm ready to go. Somebody passes me at, usually I would stop people going 15 miles over. If they're going 75 miles an hour, I'm at a dead stop. So, I mean, my foot is already, it's on the brake, excuse me, but my car's in drive, ready to go. And you see, you look at the camera that was recorded, you can see my car trying to move a little bit, because I thought maybe if I can, you know, at least that he hits the back of my car and not straight on the driver's side door, that maybe I have a chance. But there was nothing I can do. And the next thing, this guy swerves with a 360 on the highway and comes to a complete stop on the highway. I had a corporal, my supervisor, that he was on Johnson Drive. He was on a traffic stop himself. He saw the whole thing happen. I pull up behind this car, have my lights on. I get out of my car, and I go to the back of my car, off camera, and I have my hands down on my knees, couldn't believe I'm still in the land of the living. I approach this guy. He was drunk. I mean, 0.08 is impaired. He was 0.2 whatever. I forget how much it was, but I remember the 0.2 part. Oblivious of what's going on. There's really no earthly way that this guy should have swerved and missed me. I knew that night that the Lord saved me. This verse was fulfilled that night, that again, the Lord's my confidence and keeping my foot from being taken. There's really no earthly reason why I still should be standing here preaching to you today. I know that the Lord saved my life physically that night. And the reason why I bring things like that up is because, you know, why do I know? Why do I have confidence in doing the job that I do? I mean, even this last weekend, there's things that, there's, you know, people that want to fight. Why do people always want to fight? Especially when they're drunk. I don't like getting in fights. But it comes back to this Word of God, the things that the Lord has shown me in His Word, to trust Him in no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the situation is, no matter how bad the world may get, that realize that God is still on the throne and we can trust in Him. Let's go back to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Again, from verse 3 it says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." And verse 4 he goes on and says, "In God I will praise His Word." It says, "In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Let's back up and just consider the first phrase here in verse 4. In God, I will praise His Word. His Word. If you know anything about me, in my preaching and teaching, it's all about the Word of God. I try not to make it my opinion. If I think it's something that's my opinion, I'll tell you this is my opinion. This is my best biblical guesstimation or whatever. And I'll tell you that. If there's something I don't know, I don't know. This is what I understand as much as I can, but I don't know. I have no problems with that. I don't know everything about the Word of God, not even close. But what you should understand about me, it's always about uplifting the Word of God. Why is that? Isn't it just written by man? No, it is the words of God. Every last one of them. Isn't it just, you know, well, man's sinful and there's incorrect things in there. Well, really? How do you know that? Really? No. My God is powerful enough to preserve His Word and use man to do it. All right? I've never understood that argument where people say, there's no way that the Word of God can be 100% accurate, you know, because man makes mistakes. So, you're trying to say that man is able to stop something that God, who is all-powerful, wants to do? You don't think God can use sinful man to preserve His Word? You think God is all-powerful? Well, except that He can't do that. The same God that has the power, if you believe that He has saved you from eternity in hell through the Lord Jesus Christ, the same God that has that power, you don't think He has the power to keep His Word perfectly accurate, and we have it today in our English language? The same very God that divided out the whole world and changed their languages? You don't think God's powerful enough to preserve His Word for us today in English? Of course He is. It's His Word. And you see David here. Remember the circumstance. He is on the run. Saul's trying to kill him. He's in the land of the Philistines, the enemies of Israel. And he's in this cave. And he's got 400 people that come to him that are distressed, in debt, and discontented. He becomes a captain over him. And what does he do? He's focused on a word. In God, I will praise His Word. See, David didn't trust in his warrior abilities. David didn't trust that he's anointed the next king of Israel. What David trusted in was the power of God in His Word. And he uplifts His Word. I know you're probably familiar with this, but I want you to go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, down in verse 2. Psalm 138 and verse 2. We looked at this not too long ago in our study in Philippians. He says this, Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Again, this is David. He's worshiping the Lord. I'm going to praise you, all right? But he goes on and says that he has magnified the Word of God. David recognized that God magnified His Word even above God's name. And we understand that there's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There's no other name. We'll talk about that when we get to Philippians chapter 2 and the importance of the name of God and everything that He's done and dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that. But with that understood, and that said, it's like He has magnified His Word above His name. I mean, I've mentioned this before, but let's just give a physical illustration. I have a whole hymn book of songs that deal with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, what has God done? He has magnified His Word even above His name. So that tells you how important the Word of God is. And that's how important we talk about the day and age that we're in, and again, this virus that's going around, and just the things that are happening. Just listening to the news this morning before coming in church, and talking about people and just not being kind one to another and fighting over toilet paper and stuff like that. It's amazing how a couple of weeks, a virus that we can't even see, starts changing the fabric of the world. That's man. That's lost man. That's even believers in Christ that do what? Instead of trusting in God and His Word, they get all fearful and afraid. Think that they got to take care of the situation. Trust God. Again, not by any means am I saying don't wash your hands and take the precautions that you need to. Obviously, we need to do that. But what we need to be trusting in is the Lord and His Word. It's the Word of God that provides comfort. We know that from Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. It talks about how God is able to comfort us, what? Through Scripture. Through His Word. You need comfort today over everything that's going on and the fears and everything that you have that's going on. You turn on the news and it's just constantly coronavirus. You need comfort? Just take some time, turn off the TV, and open up your Bible, and allow the God of heaven comfort you to give you peace, to be able to give you direction. God's still in control. We talked about from Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Do you remember His name? He's Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord deals with His authority. He is in control. Jesus is His human name, which means Savior. God became man. He went through everything that we have gone through on this planet. There's not any kind of a temptation or trial that we experience that Jesus Christ hadn't experienced Himself. He's humanity. He understands what we are going through. And then Christ. God. He's God. Lord, authority. Jesus, humanity. Christ, deity. He's God. That's the one we need to remember. His name. That's the one we need to be trusting in. And again, how do we know these things? It comes through the Word of God. Yes, we need to be praying. For sure. Just like we see with David. In all these Psalms, he's praying to God about all the emotions and the things and the fears that he's going through. Yes, he's doing that. But he's also turning to God's Word to be able to listen to Him. To allow God to give the comfort. I want to give you another reference. Again, I know you're familiar with it, but I want you to turn over to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3, again, talking about the importance of God's Word. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to read down through the three verses of this chapter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." The Word of God being glorified, uplifted, just like we saw in Psalm 138 and verse 2. He goes on in verse 2, it says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." If there's anything to learn from what's going on right now, is that one, I want to say, opportunity that we have as believers in Christ is to be able to share our faith with others. There are people that are, again, that are out there that all men have not faith. Paul is praying. It's like, hey, pray for us that the Word of God may have free course and be glorified even as it was with you. And the reason is because, again, there's some evil and wicked people out there, and all men don't have faith. In other words, they're going to try to stop the Word of God. Kurt brings this up all the time when we talk. It's like the two things you're not supposed to talk about is politics and religion. So again, I'm not going to deal with politics, but I'll tell you what. It's not about religion, but we need to be talking about the Word. People might start coming to you. It's like, hey, what's going on here? What does the Bible have to say about this? Well, let me share what the Word of God says. Let me share with you. It's like, yeah, I understand. I got those fears too and everything like that. But here's what I do. I spend time talking to God, and then I spend time in allowing the Lord to speak to me through His Word. Let me share something with you that He just that I've seen in the Word of God just the other day or whatever. Here, let me share that with you if you don't mind. I'll be praying for you. It's an opportunity. A time where most people go about their business and do what they want to do, don't give God a second thought. Now some people are starting to maybe, okay, what, is this the end of the world? Let's see what the Word of God has to say. You know what's sad? And I almost hate to say this. I mean, I'm not wishing death or anything like that, but I'm just going to tell you, how many times that we have major tragedies that happen to a nation? Think about 9/11. I mean, because that's what people are starting to compare this type thing to now, is 9/11. When that happened, I'm sure everybody remembers where they were when that took place. Trish and I and Andrew, who are living in Canada. All right, I remember that time. I was involved in the policing. I mean, it was a tough time. I remember picking up my son from kindergarten earlier, and as we were walking home, he asked, "Hey, Dad, is this World War III?" And I had to tell my little son, it's like, "Son, I don't know. It could be." And we had a time where our nation and the world were, what, looking to God. I remember doing a memorial service, and they had me as a pastor as well as being involved in policing as a volunteer police officer. They had, the mayor came together and brought the city together, and they had fire people, they had police people like myself to offer words of comfort to the city and to offer up prayers. And I still remember the day the prayer that I prayed at that time. But once time went on, guess what started happening? We started talking about prayer and seeking God. No, we just go right about our business. And I will guarantee you, this is something that I can, not being a prophet, not anything like that, I can. Once there is a vaccine, once we get through the thick of this thing, you know what's going to happen. People are going to like, forget about God, forget about even thinking about eternity, and just go about doing what they're going to do until the next crisis hits. See, we need, as believers in Christ, we need to have a daily, consistent time in the Word, yes, and in prayer, obviously. I want you to notice, if you're still in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 2, but to verse 3 as well. It says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord, notice this, is faithful. He shall establish you. That word establish is not establish, but establish to strengthen you. And keep you from evil. The Lord's able to strengthen, establish you, and He's able to keep you, guard you. And why is that? Because He's faithful. To where, I mean, we talked about this in our question and answer Bible study. I mean, God, one of the institutions that He's ordained is government. But government, of course, is not perfect. And where government may fail you, God never will. He is faithful. Why can I know that? Why can I say that? Because it says it in His Word, and not this is not the only place. He's faithful. Is. Present tense. He was faithful yesterday. He is faithful right now. He'll be faithful tomorrow. You can trust in Him. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. It's us that we do the leaving. We do the forsaking. Oh, something happens and the first thing we want to do is blame God for it. Instead of trust Him through the situation. You go back to Psalm 56. Gosh, we need to hear this. We need to understand this. In verse 4, in God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. Notice the difference. In verse 3, it says, what time I am afraid, I will trust Thee. For future things that are going to happen, I'm going to trust God. And here in verse 4, it says, in God I have put my trust. Past tense. Again, the moment that I got saved, I was 19 years old. What am I coming up on, like 33 years or something like that of being saved? All right, I put my trust in Him when I was 19 years old. And now that I'm 51, guess what I still need to do? I need to continue to put my trust in Him, no matter the circumstance. Am I concerned that when I go to work and I work at a place where people are coming in all the time, it's open 24/7, I'm there 10 hours a day? An 80-hour, you know, work week in 2 weeks and that sort of thing. And I'm dealing with people all the time. Am I concerned? Yes, I can be concerned. I don't want people coughing and hacking on me and so forth. I don't want to bring that home to my wife. I mean, of course there's concern there, but I can't let those things stop me from doing what God has given me to do, because I really believe that God has given me that job. Trusting in Him. I have trusted Him in the past to get me through some incredible things. And trust Him to get me through this. It says again in verse 4, in God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I don't know. Again, I'm not trying to, I don't scare anybody. I don't want people to understand the importance of placing your faith and trust in the Lord and His Word. I am not standing up here thinking that I'm immune from something. I mean, back in 2009, I was one of the people that got H1N1, swine flu. I was involved in policing there. My son got it. Half his high school had it. I was dealing with people that had it. Had to go to different calls, had to go to the emergency room of the hospital, people walking around with masks on. I mean, it was almost a foregone conclusion. I'm going to get swine flu. Now, don't make any jokes. I'm a police officer, a pig getting swine flu. Okay, I don't want any jokes about that afterwards or anything like that. But if you have a donut, I wouldn't mind having a donut. I didn't eat breakfast. But anyhow, I got it. We had two other officers in our department. It was a small department in Merriam that also got one. I was in the hospital for a while. My other one, he was off work for a while. I missed one day of work. I'm going to go on my 2 days off anyway. I missed a day of work before that. Trish, she was attending to us. Andrew was quarantined in his room. I was in the living room because that's where the TV was. And Trish never got it. Never got it. It's like, it happens. I mean, I thank God that I got through it. That was the last time I ever had any flu. And I think it's been a good, really, I mean, I have not been really sick for over a year and a half. At least. You know what? Maybe I end up, I go to work tomorrow, whatever the case is, and all of a sudden I come back and maybe, guess what? Maybe I get it. Maybe I get the coronavirus. Is it the end of my world? I mean, whether I ever get it or not get it, my trust has got to be in the God that has, I've trusted in the past and has brought me through some incredible things. Some incredible things. I don't have time for the last, you know, 30 some odd years of being saved and the things that He has allowed my wife and my family to be able to do and tell you about all the things that are some harrowing situations that He has brought us through. Trusting Him. Some ways that, again, if I was to lean on my own understanding, I don't see how this is going to work. But God always made a way. And that's what I want to encourage you today. It's like, hey, not just praying to God, but being in His Word and trusting Him that He can work everything out. Just trust Him. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to depend upon Him. He wants us to lean upon Him like we sung right before this message. It's like He's there for us. All we need to do is trust Him because He is faithful. I want you to look, I'll give you one more reference. We talk about trusting God and how God's able to deliver. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to notice the Apostle Paul in a circumstance in his life where he thought death was imminent. And I want you to see exactly what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 8. It says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead." Now, hold up before we go into verse 10 there. You see, they were like, you know what? We've got the sentence of death in ourselves because as believers in Christ, we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's like we talked about just a few weeks ago about in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." All right? And so Paul says, it's like, man, we literally thought we were going to die, but that's okay. We already have the sentence of death in ourselves and that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the one that raises from the dead. Jesus. The God-man. And in verse 10 it says, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." You get that in verse 10? Past, present, and future, Paul's trusting in the Lord. He's delivered us from so great a death in the past. Again, the worst problem we ever have is dying without Christ and going to hell. He's delivered us from that if we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And right now, present tense, He's delivering. And He will yet deliver us. Why? Because He's faithful. He's faithful. Just trust Him. Trust Him. You go back to Psalm 56. I want you to see one more thing and then we'll be done. The book of Psalms, if I was going to give you a theme to this book, it would be about trusting the Lord, because you see it over and over again. The book of Psalms is a book that goes through every human emotion that you can ever experience on this planet. It's all right there in one book. That's why it's the biggest book of the Bible, 150 Psalms. Contains the biggest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, that just, again, David glorifies, uplifting the Word of God. Even as he's going through persecutions and struggles and tribulations, it's always coming back to the Word, always coming back to the Word, always coming back to the Word. Notice this in Psalm 56. Again, I'm going to read verses 3 and 4, but then we're going to jump down to verses 9 through 11. Again, first of all, Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. It says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Jump down to verse 9. When I cry unto Thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. He's repeating the same thing again. And you see that three times he's praising God and praising the Lord in His Word. Three times. It's funny, I heard a certain politician on TV and talking about what one of the main things that we need to be doing in the United States is testing, testing, testing. Three times. You know what we need to be doing as believers in Christ? Getting the Word of God. Getting the Word of God. And by the way, getting the Word of God. Yes, we need to be praying. And I'm glad the President, again, National Day of Prayer. But as believers in Christ, again, we should always be praying. But that's half the communication cycle. That's us speaking to God, and we need to do that. Again, I'm not demeaning that by any stretch of the imagination. We need to be praying. But we know what we also need to be doing? Getting the Word. Getting the Word. Getting the Word. It's what will comfort us. You think about times that you're afraid. And I always think about, what can I give out of my life that is times where I am afraid? And the only thing that really comes to mind is the times that my wife has had surgery. Even when she's pregnant and she gave birth to our son, Andrew. I mean, you women, go for it. Everybody knows this. If it was up for men to have babies, there would be nobody in the world. Yeah, it wouldn't be. We can't take the pain. Right? Women can. But as a husband, it was hard, and I know the women out there listening to this, it's like, oh yeah, I get old. But it was hard to see my wife in the pain of childbirth and not have the ability to do anything to help her. That was hard for me. At times when she's had surgery, you know, and, you know, I mean, it's not like it was life and death kind of surgery, but things can happen. And it's just like, those are times that I'm afraid. What gives me peace is spending time in the Word of God. Miscarriages that we had. Last one was in Canada. That was miscarriage number 7. Afraid. But at the same time, I had peace. Because the Lord, because of His Word, spending time in His Word. He worked everything out. My wife had knee surgery a couple of years ago. Knee replacement. In the hospital. Again, knee replacement. Happens all the time. But I know the brother in Christ from my karate organization, I had no idea he was doing this, but he came to the hospital, spent time with me. I was in tears. That support from a fellow believer in Christ. Again, spending time in the Word of God. And here I'm saying, I'm praying for you. That meant so much to me. Keep my mind off what was I was fearful of. And I understand. I understand. We don't know everything that's going to happen in these next few days and few weeks and maybe months and so forth and all that. And, you know, we're going to be able to go to the store and have food and things like that. Look, folks, none of this is a surprise to God. And if God has delivered you and has saved you, that you don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. And like Paul says, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but trusting in the one that's able to raise from the dead. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is what we need to be doing. We need to be spending time in the Word and encouraging one another out. Yes, see how we can help people, you know, so elderly people don't have to get out and so forth and so on, and to be able to help them do what we can do. Obviously, those are the things that we need to do, but I'm telling you, priority, number one, get up in the morning, instead of just turning on the news first, open up the Word. Hear from the one that is faithful every day. Hear from the one that's able to deliver you. Hear from the one that's able to give you the comfort and the peace that can pass all understanding. Spend time in the book first. Spend time talking to God like you see with David. You know, God, I am kind of fearful of this. What happens if this happens? So forth and so on and all this. Talk to Him about it. Pray for one another. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our country. But spend the time in the Word to allow God to speak to you and give you the comfort and the peace that you need every single day. Every moment of the day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, and I thank you and praise you for your Word. And I don't know if this message will do any good. I don't know. But I'm trusting that your Word will accomplish the purpose that you intended in the hearts of people that will hear this today. Or it might be tomorrow or whatever, whether they look at it on Facebook or whether they download the Audible message that we'll download later or listen to the recap later this week, whatever the case is. I just pray that it'll be a help. I know your Word will help. There's no doubt about that. But my prayer is that people will open up their hearts and our minds to your Word and that they would trust you. There's no circumstance that this world can ever have that, one, you don't already know about, and two, that it's able to supersede your power. You're able to deliver. I know people, they're going to be sick, yes. I know there's going to be death. We've seen that already. And Lord, all of that is, we don't understand, don't even pretend to understand, but we know that you're on the throne, you have purpose, you have reason. But Lord, help us to trust you through it all. That we grow in our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what it says in Romans 10:17. One of our foundational verses of this church, Faith Bible Church, is that we'd be people that would walk by faith and not by sight. And that we would grow in our faith, and that we teach people how to grow in a faith and trusting you. That all comes from your Word. So Lord, help us that today is not just a national day of prayer for us. Help it to be a national day of being in the Word. And that would be the case each and every day of our lives. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.